That's right, Nita. Earlier this morning, there was a memorial service and a name-reading ceremony at Rookwood Cemetery in Sydney. And tonight at 7:30 p.m. at UNSW, there will be a commemoration featuring the author Morris Gleitzman and musical performances by Lior. There will also be a ceremony tomorrow night for residents in Sydney's North Shore. That's 7:30 p.m. at Masada College.
And Evan, in the lead up to Yom HaShoah, a Sydney photographer is urging members of the community to create images that reflect what the Holocaust means to them.
That's right, Nita. We have an incredibly powerful cover photo this week taken by local photographer Lance Gold, who captured a powerful bird's eye image of Holocaust remembrance at Bondi Beach. Now, he gathered 28 volunteers and using a camera attached to a drone flying overhead, he snapped them dressed from head to toe in black, lying in formation to create a giant replica of the Auschwitz prisoner number that was tattooed on the arm of Holocaust survivor Joseph Pakula, the late father of Gold's friend, Robin Pakula. Now, this striking formation of the group, made up mostly of descendants of Holocaust survivors, contrasted dramatically with the softness of the early morning light and the peacefulness of the sand and the sea. And you can view that image on the front cover of the Jewish News this week, and you can create your own images and submit them to Lance Gold at rememberTheYom@gmail.com.
And we are talking to Evan Zlatkis, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Evan, talking about Yom HaShoah, there is still denial of the Shoah. Just happened in Melbourne last week.
That's right, Nita. Holocaust denial flyers were distributed at the University of Melbourne and at Monash University again last week. The material presents the Holocaust as propaganda and claims that the newly released film Denial presents a fabrication of history. Dvir Abramovich, the chairman of the B'nai B'rith Anti-Defamation Commission, said he was shocked and disgusted that such revolting brochures have once again invaded university space, not only belittling the horrific murder of 6 million Jews, but exploiting vulnerable students who may have limited knowledge about the Holocaust and sowing a message of hate and intolerance in the hearts of young people. Abramovich says this case is indicative of an explosive spike in white supremacist activity across the country.
Evan, new ambassadors. There is a new Israeli ambassador in Australia, and a new Australian ambassador has been appointed for Israel.
That's right. Some very exciting news. Nitsa, Israel's foreign ministry has chosen British-born diplomat Mark Sofer as its next ambassador to Australia. Mark Sofer will take over from Shmuel Ben Shmuel later this year, and his posting to Canberra will be his third ambassadorial post. Now, he served as Israel's top diplomat in India from 2008 to 2011, and he was also the ambassador to Ireland from 1999 to 2002. Nitsa, Mark Sofer has some very interesting history. He was very close to the late Shimon Peres. He served as his policy advisor in the 1990s. He joined Israel's foreign ministry in 1981, and he's held several positions since then. A big mazel tov to Mark Sofer. We wish him all the very best. And as you said, Nitsa, Australia has appointed a new ambassador to Israel to replace Dave Sharma. His name is Chris Canan. He's a senior officer with the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, and he will become Australia's ambassador to Israel when Dave Sharma's tenure comes to an end in June. Now, Chris Canan, he's originally from Adelaide. He started his career working for former South Australian Senator and Federal Minister Amanda Vanstone before he moved to DFAT. He's been described as smart and a very clear thinker and someone who would get the job done. He has some very big shoes to fill, but we wish him all the very best, and we also congratulate Dave Sharma on his fantastic achievements over the course of his position, and we wish him all the best as he moves on in his professional career.
We are talking to Evan Zlatkis, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Evan, last week the AJN reported that the New South Wales Young Greens were boycotting the Jewish students. They were boycotting Orgis. Is there any development?
Well, Nitsa, New South Wales Young Greens actually claimed that they were not discriminating against Jewish students after they refused to speak at an Orgis event earlier this month. Now, in a statement, Orgis claimed that the Young Greens' official policy was to boycott Jewish students and said that it was angered and disappointed by that stance. Now, in response to Orges' claims, the Young Greens restated their support for Palestine and said that it didn't attend the Orges event because of Orges' policies, not because it was a Jewish organization.
And we are talking to Evan Zlatkis, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Evan, Rabbi Feldman, Trigubov, what's the latest?
Well, this saga continues. As your listeners will know, 4 weeks after Rabbi Yossi Feldman appeared to compare major donor Harry Trigubov to the Nazis, his father, Rabbi Pinchas Feldman, has finally distanced himself from the comments. Now, the saga began in March when Trigubov, who owns the yeshiva property in Flood Street, Bondi, gave eviction notices to several members of the Feldman family. Now, the next day, Nitzer, Rabbi Yossi Feldman criticized Harry Trigubov because he said the eviction notice would close the yeshiva synagogue. He said that Harry Trigubov would be the first Jew to close a synagogue since the Nazis. 2 days later, Yossi Feldman clarified his statement, saying that it would be totally out of context to compare Harry Trigubov to the Nazis, but Nisa, the damage was already done. On April 9, in an attempt to get a stay of execution and remain at the property longer, Rabbi Pinchas Feldman encouraged members of the yeshiva community to contact Harry Trigubov. He said he believes that if Trigubov would see that there is serious communal support for the synagogue to remain and under present leadership, he may reconsider his harsh stance. However, dozens of letters were sent, but the ploy from Rabbi Feldman seems to have failed because Trigubov responded to those who contacted him, saying he had no intention of closing the shul. This saga continues neat, so you can read all about it in this week's edition.
And before we go, Anzac Day.
That's right, Nita. Anzac Day this coming Tuesday. There will be a Jewish commemoration the following Sunday, April 30 at 9:30 a.m. at the Sydney Jewish Museum. This year marks the centenary of the charge of the Australian Light Horse Brigade at Beersheba, and the NAJEX commemoration has turned the focus to Israel for its annual commemoration of Anzac Day. The guest speaker at the event will be Kelvin Crombie, the author of Gallipoli, The Road to Jerusalem. He grew up on a farm in rural Western Australia, listening to stories of the Anzacs from his uncles, who were former infantry men who served in the Middle East during the Second World War. A very, very interesting man who will be speaking at the Sydney Jewish Museum commemoration of Anzac Day next Sunday, April 30 at 9:30 a.m.
Evan Zlatkis, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News, thank you very much and have a great week.